Good morning, and welcome back to America's Leaders from Coast to Coast, the 250th Anniversary Edition. Today is day 52 of the year, Saturday, February 21st, 2026. I'm Stephen.
And I'm Leah.
We are continuing our weekend historical deep dive, and today we have reached the absolute breaking point of the American Republic. We are profiling the 15th President of the United States, a man who had the perfect resume, but is almost universally ranked by historians as the worst president in American history. We are talking about James Buchanan.
Stephen, when you look at James Buchanan on paper, you would think he was destined for greatness. He was a brilliant lawyer from Pennsylvania. He served in the state legislature, the House of Representatives, and the U.S. Senate. He was Secretary of State under James K. Polk. He was the minister to Russia and the minister to Great Britain. He had decades of high-level diplomatic and legislative experience. He was elected in 1856 because people thought he was the adult in the room who could finally calm the country down. Oh, and fun fact, he is the only president in history to remain a lifelong bachelor.
That's right. His niece, Harriet Lane, actually served as the first lady and hosted all the White House events. But the adult in the room narrative fell apart before he was even officially sworn in. And it involves one of the most shameful scandals in the history of the United States Supreme Court. The court was about to rule on the Dred Scott case. Dred Scott was an enslaved man who sued for his freedom because his enslaver had taken him into free territory. Buchanan wanted this issue gone. He wanted the Supreme Court to just issue a massive, sweeping ruling so politicians wouldn't have to argue about slavery anymore.
And he didn't just hope for it. He actively interfered, which is a massive violation of the separation of powers. As the president-elect, Buchanan secretly wrote letters to a Northern justice on the Supreme Court, Robert Greer, who was also from Pennsylvania. He pressured Greer to join the Southern pro-slavery justices to make the ruling look less partisan. He basically bullied the court into issuing the worst decision in its history. 2 days after Buchanan's inauguration, Chief Justice Roger Taney ruled that African Americans could never be citizens, and that the federal government had no power to ban slavery in the territories.
Buchanan was so arrogant that he actually thought the North would just accept the ruling and move on. In his inaugural address, he literally said the issue of slavery in the territories was, happily, a matter of but little practical importance, because the Supreme Court was about to settle it. Instead, the North absolutely exploded in anger. The ruling proved to the abolitionists that the entire federal government was rigged in favor of the South. Buchanan's secret meddling completely destroyed the legitimacy of the Supreme Court for a generation.
And he just kept making things worse. Let's look at Bleeding Kansas, which we talked about in our Franklin Pierce episode. The violence is still raging in Kansas. The pro-slavery faction there drafts a state constitution in a town called Lecompton. It was completely fraudulent. Thousands of illegal votes were cast by people crossing the border from Missouri. But Buchanan, desperate to appease his Southern allies, threw the entire weight of the White House behind the Lecompton Constitution. He demanded that Congress admit Kansas as a slave state,
which caused a massive political civil war inside his own party. Senator Stephen A. Douglas, who was the most powerful Democrat in the North, refused to support the fraudulent Constitution. Buchanan told Douglas that if he didn't fall in line, the president would destroy his career. Douglas famously yelled back, "Mr. President, I wish you to remember that Andrew Jackson is dead." Buchanan's stubbornness permanently split the Democratic Party into Northern and Southern factions. Because of that split, the Democrats couldn't unite behind a single candidate in 1860, which paved the way for a Republican named Abraham Lincoln to win the White House.
And this brings us to the secession winter of 1860 to 1861. Lincoln is elected in November, but he doesn't take office until March. During those 4 months, James Buchanan is a lame duck president, watching the country disintegrate. South Carolina secedes. Then Mississippi, Florida, Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, and Texas. They start seizing federal arsenals, mints, and military forts. And what does the president of the United States do? Absolutely nothing.
It is the most staggering failure of executive leadership in history. He gives an address where he basically says, secession is illegal, but the federal government doesn't have the constitutional power to stop you from doing it. He just sat in the Oval Office, completely paralyzed by his own legalistic worldview, while a hostile rebel army organized and armed itself right under his nose. By the time he left office, his cabinet had completely fallen apart, half the country was gone, and the Civil War was inevitable.
He went back to his estate in Pennsylvania, and he actually spent the rest of his life writing a book trying to defend himself. He honestly believed that history would vindicate him. He died in 1868, completely convinced that the Civil War was everyone else's fault but his own.
The diplomat who couldn't negotiate peace in his own country.
The president who watched the Union burn.
That is James Buchanan. That is our profile for the 15th president. Next time, we enter the Civil War with Abraham Lincoln. Please note, AI assists in the creation of this podcast from pointedwords.com. And remember, better pointed words than pointed swords.